Hi, and welcome back to the Legal Cheek podcast. I'm Eloise Skinner. I'm an associate at a US firm in London. And today I'm here with Chrissy Wolfe, who is a solicitor, but also does a lot of other things. And if you Google Chrissy, you will find about a million different awards that she's won or been nominated for. And she's also a YouTube star. So we're going to be asking her some questions about that. But firstly, Chrissy, do you want to just introduce yourself, like tell us a bit about your background? What are you up to?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on the Legal Cheek podcast. This is really exciting. To tell you a bit about me, I am a full-time solicitor at Owen Mitchell, and also in my spare time, I also run Law & Broader, which is primarily YouTube-based, so primarily do YouTube videos, but also do events, seminars, workshops, Instagram lives, interviews, all kinds of different stuff, primarily aimed at law students, aspiring lawyers trying to break into the profession. So quite a busy life, but yeah. I enjoy it. I must so do because cool. I keep doing it.
Yes, it's really cool. So we're going to ask you more about that in a second. But first question, if you weren't a lawyer, maybe you already answered this with all the other stuff that you do, but if you weren't a lawyer mainly, what would you be doing with your life?
I would definitely be some kind of events or wedding planner, I think.
A wedding planner, that's
absolutely
that's quite niche.
Yeah, it is. But I just love organising events. Like, I love all the details. I love, like, organising entertainment, like, designing menus and decorations and just everything that goes with events. I love doing that stuff, which is probably why I do events alongside my day job. But, yeah, definitely, if I wasn't a lawyer, I'd probably do that.
That's cool. And I can sort of see the similarities, actually, because sometimes I feel like organizing a transaction or kind of like managing your caseload or whatever you're doing in your day job as a lawyer is kind of similar to like running a massive event.
The event is yours. Lots of pieces to put together.
Okay, so maybe tell us a little bit about your work as a solicitor, what you specialise in, maybe why you were interested in going into that area.
Yeah, sure. So I'm super niche. Owen Mitchell has a massive personal injury department, which is what I was always interested in doing. I'm a GDL student, actually, so I did my undergraduate in biology. Oh, cool. And then when I wanted to do law, I always wanted to do law with kind of a medical feel to it. So Owen Mitchell was the perfect choice where I could specialise in that. So I did my training contract in various facets of personal injury, because you can stream your training contracts at Owen Mitchell, so you can do all personal and private client and personal injury type seats, or you can do corporate and commercial. And I definitely wanted to do the private client and personal injury stuff, so I did that. And then I kind of ended up qualifying into a department which I didn't even know really existed until I started my training contract, called International Serious Injury.
Oh, wow.
So I basically specialise in people who've been catastrophically injured abroad. So all of my work has some kind of cross-border element to it. And I deal with all different types of injury, actually, kind of everything from cruise ship disasters to accidents on holiday to medical negligence claims. I actually have a new specialism in cosmetic surgery, so people who've gone abroad for cosmetic surgery. So super, super niche. But
is that a growing industry?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely is, with kind of the rise of social media and kind of HD TV and that kind of stuff. It's definitely on the rise, and I find it really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like quite a challenging job in that it's very, there's a real human element to it. Like, it must be quite, does it take its toll emotionally? Or
It's really hands-on, and because my work is, well, it's all with catastrophically injured people, so it does take quite an emotional element as well to kind of build that relationship with your clients. And some of my clients I've had for years and years as well, so you do build up a really strong relationship and kind of a strong emotional attachment with your clients as well.
Yeah, what do you do in order to kind of get that separation between, like, not take your work home with you all the time?
Yeah, it's definitely something that I had to learn. I think it takes a while to kind of learn that balance, I think, in between being professional but also being sympathetic to your clients as well, because you can't be too cold when clients have kind of gone through these really sort of catastrophic situations. So you have to keep that balance, and it is hard to do. And I think you've just got to focus on what your role is and make sure you don't drift into kind of counsellor or friend or support system. So you've just got to know where the boundaries are, I think, and make sure that you stay on the right side of them.
Yeah. All right, so maybe moving to a more upbeat topic.
Yep.
What about YouTube? So I was just having a chat with someone, actually, when you were on your way here, And I was saying that it's very difficult now to navigate as a lawyer this idea of having a personal brand or something that's kind of in the spotlight, or even just being a little bit more visible from your firm, sort of standing out as an individual lawyer, rather than just being sort of a lawyer that's part of a big like firm or community. So I don't know, what's your view on it? So obviously you have your YouTube channel, and maybe you can tell us a bit about that and what it's about and the kind of videos that you do, but also your thoughts on what it means to be a lawyer with a personal brand.
Yeah, so I think it's definitely really important to have a personal brand as a lawyer. I think the climate is drastically different now, the legal climate, than it was a few years ago. And I think clients do seek out a person as their lawyer, and they're more and more moving towards seeking out people rather than necessarily the name on the door. I think it's about people and making an impression on people. And I think having a personal brand is a really strong way of making that direct connection with your clients, which I think is so important, or your market, or whoever you're trying to connect with. And I think it can really make you stand out from other people in your field if you've got a real human element to you. I think there can sometimes be this sort of notion that lawyers are a bit personalityless sometimes. You know, yeah. We've got our head in our books. We're not known. Lawyers aren't known for being great personalities, I don't think. I think if you are a lawyer who can show you have a good personality as well, then you're in a really good position. So I think it is really important to develop that and show your clients that you do have a personality and you can be on a level with your client as well. That kind of wasn't necessarily my intention when I set up my YouTube channel, but that's how it's progressed, actually. I never envisaged that it would kind of get to this scale. When I started off, it was more just about helping out students and aspiring lawyers, because I remembered what it was like when I was going through the process. So I just wanted to offer a bit of additional help, and then it kind of grew into events and mentoring and seminars and much more mass scale. It was kind of an accidental but positive accident that I ended up with a personal brand. But
yeah, it's really cool, because I love the way you kind of integrate your working life and then your personal life. So it's called Law and Broader, right?
Yeah.
And the law part is obviously stuff about like tips on how to be a lawyer and things like that, and then the broader part is you, like your personality.
Yeah, so more lifestyle type stuff. So I kind of wanted to give an insight into lawyer life as well, in that actually it's not just spending your whole life inside of the four walls of your office, and actually it's possible to go out and do things and have a bit of a personality and have a bit of a life at the same time.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to get that across. I think it can sometimes be a misconception amongst students that is it. Once you become a lawyer, that is the end of your life. There is no more fun. It's just you spend all your time at work, and I wanted to get across that isn't really the case, and you can still have a really enjoyable life and be a lawyer at the same time.
Yeah, and I think also that's the kind of idea that makes a career in law more sustainable. Like when you think about going into law, you might think, oh, a few years at the beginning where you're still having fun and then you're really into it. But I think your example kind of shows that you can weave these two things together. Like you can still have all of your personal interests and also be really dedicated to your work.
Yeah, definitely.
YouTube is such a weird thing. Like when I was doing research in inverted commas for this interview, I was just watching you like make some pancakes on YouTube and talk about like your daily life, and I was thinking, it's weird that people are so interested in it, but
yeah, it is weird. It takes a bit of getting used to kind of living your life in front of a camera, but I didn't want to delve too much into my real personal life, but I like showing a bit of what I do outside of work. It just adds a bit of personality to the channel, I think.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, so I have two more questions for you. One is about well-being and time management. So in terms of managing your own time and the demands of your workload alongside your other stuff that you do, what do you do to kind of take care of yourself?
Yeah, so I'm actually a big sleeper. You would be surprised about how much I sleep, because if you follow me on Instagram, you'll know that I'm always out and event. But I am a standard kind of pop in, take a photo, enjoy being out, and then I am literally at home in my PJs for 9 o'clock, and I need my 8 or 9 hours sleep, and I have to get it, otherwise I'm just not functional the next day.
Yeah.
So I definitely take a lot of time to rest and just relax in between the madness on a day-to-day basis. Go to the gym a lot as well, practice a bit of mindfulness, which I really enjoy. Just take time to just sort of switch off and try and focus on what you're grateful for and what's great in your life, because sometimes the stress of what you're not doing can take over from the things that you actually have achieved and that are good. So I try and take a bit of time to kind of reflect on that as often as I can. Take lots of holidays, take myself out of the situation as much as I can.
Yeah, no, I love it. Ollie and Kaylee were really big on mindfulness as well. We had them on the podcast earlier and they were saying, they mentioned the Mindfulness in Law group, which is like a group that meets in London.
Yeah,
there
exactly.
should be more stuff like that, like globally. Really.
Definitely. I mean, Kaylee's amazing, all the work she does with mental health, and I really support that and definitely think there should be more outlets for people who are struggling, because it is a stressful career. There's no two ways about it. But I think knowing that other people appreciate that and there are people to talk to and people who understand what you're going through definitely helps, because I think it makes it worse sometimes if you think, you look around you and everybody's doing a really good job and you think, oh, well, they're all fine. Why am I not fine?
Yeah.
But I think knowing that everyone is secretly knowing your struggle and sharing your struggle definitely helps.
Absolutely. All right, final question. What one piece of advice or piece of wisdom would you want to pass on to the next generation of junior lawyers?
I think go for it. Now more than ever, I think there can be so much apprehension amongst law students thinking this is so competitive. I'm never going to get a training contract, or I'm never going to be able to fulfill my dreams of becoming a lawyer because of X, Y, and Z limitation. But I think particularly now, because the legal marketplace is opening up so much, particularly you've got the SQE coming in, so there's going to be loads of different ways of getting into law, that there will be a place for you. And there's so many different skills now which are relevant in the legal workplace, that even if you don't think perhaps you have the traditional skills of being a lawyer, I don't think there are really traditional skills anymore. There are so many different skills which are required that there will be a place for you in law and you will be able to get there. So don't be put off by kind of the daunting task of getting a training contract, and just keep your horizons broad. It's not all about private practice. There are other options. So just make sure you're doing all of your research and learning as much as you possibly can about all the potential avenues into the profession, because there's definitely a way of getting there if you're determined enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. That was really helpful. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.